Esham,
Esham,
of all the great elites,
Arhanam,
respectful worship,
Upapeda,
received,
Ikshaniya,
the object of attraction,
Mama,
mine,
Drishi,
sight,
Gochara,
within the view of,
Eshaavi,
personally present,
Atma,
the soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. At the Rajasuya Yajna, performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was a great assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders, and in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happens during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. Purport. After gaining victory in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Emperor of the World, performed the Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. The Emperor in those days, upon his ascendance to the throne, would send a challenge horse all over the world to declare his supremacy, and any ruling prince or king was at liberty to accept the challenge and express his tacit willingness either to obey or to disobey the supremacy of the particular emperor. One who accepted the challenge had to fight with the emperor and establish his own supremacy by victory. The defeated challenger would have to sacrifice his life, making a place for another king or ruler. So Maharaj Yudhisthira also dispatched such challenging horses all over the world, and every ruling prince and king all over the world accepted Maharaj Yudhisthira's leadership as the emperor of the world. After this, all rulers of the world under the regime of Maharaj Yudhisthira were invited to participate in the great sacrificial ceremony of Rajasuya. Such performances required hundreds and millions of dollars, and it was not an easy job for a petty king. Such a sacrificial ceremony, being too expensive and also difficult to perform under present circumstances, is now impossible in this age of Kali. Nor can anyone secure the required expert priesthood to take charge of the ceremony. So after being invited, all the kings and great learned sages of the world assembled in the capital of Maharaj Yudhisthira. The learned society, including the great philosophers, religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages were invited. That is to say, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas were the topmost leading men in society, and they were all invited to participate in the assembly. The Vaishyas and Sudras were unimportant elements in society, and they were not mentioned herein. Due to the change of social activities in the modern age, the importance of men has also changed in terms of occupational positions. So in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was the cynosure of neighboring eyes. Everyone wanted to see Lord Krishna, and everyone wanted to pay his humble respects to the Lord. Bhishma Dev remembered all this and was glad that his worshipful Lord, the personality of Godhead, was present before him in his actual formal presence. So to meditate on the Supreme Lord is to meditate on the activities, form, pastimes, name and fame of the Lord. That is easier than what is imagined as meditation on the impersonal feature of the Supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is clearly stated that to meditate upon the impersonal feature of the Supreme is very difficult. It is practically no meditation, or simply a waste of time, because very seldom is the desired result obtained. The devotees, however, meditate on the Lord's factual form and pastimes, and therefore the Lord is easily approachable by the devotees. That is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.9. The Lord is non-different from His transcendental activities. It is indicated also in this shloka that Lord Sri Krishna, while actually present before human society, especially in connection with the Battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time, although he might not have been recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The propaganda that is very great. Sorry, the propaganda that a very great man is worshipped as God after his death is misleading, because a man after his death cannot be made into God. Nor can the personality of Godhead be a human being, even when he is personally present. Both ideas are misconceptions. The idea of anthropomorphism cannot be applied in the case of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agnate Mirandasya Ganandula Shalakaya Chakshuvan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangunai Gate Gurim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurin Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So to meditate on the Supreme Lord is to meditate on his activities, form, pastimes, transcendental name and fame. This is the glorious process of Bhakti Yoga, that it is a process we can apply 24 hours in our day to engage in meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the topmost platform of yoga meditation. Hansa Dutta Prabhu, he had a team of men in Europe, and they were doing a massive collection of Lakshmi for Srila Prabhupada. They would collect thousands and thousands of dollars to offer to Srila Prabhupada to support many of the projects, various projects that were up and coming in ISKCON at the time. And so Hamsa Dutta Prabhu, he went in to see Srila Prabhupada, and he sat down before Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, these men, they are working so hard. They are working so hard for your pleasure. You know, he said, they're working like 18, 21 hour days on the streets collecting for you. You know, and Prabhupada, he looked very grave, you know. He leaned back in his chair and he said, our process is 24 hours. And so this is our process, 24 hours. We should jam-pack our day, you know, full of Krishna conscious activity. You know, when I say like jam-pack, you know, when you see like a jam jar, there's no air bubbles in there, is there? Like it's fully sealed, like the jam seeps into all the sides of the jar, no gaps. So we should jam pack our day with Krishna conscious activity, like not wasting any time. And eventually, yeah, then we'll start dreaming, having Krishna conscious dreams. I know for myself at the moment I'm dreaming about everything else apart from Krishna. You know, when I take rest at night. But if we get these sanskaras, yeah, of Krishna consciousness on our consciousness, then we can eventually we will start dreaming about Krishna. We'll be dreaming that we'll be playing with the Krishna and the cowherd boys on Govardhan Hill, or we'll be dreaming that we'll be assisting Mother Yashoda and Radharani cooking for Krishna, or maybe even dancing with Lord Chaitanya at Rath Yatra. Yeah. Actually, it's said that one who is situated on the Uttama Adhikari platform of devotional service, that he actually never sleeps, that although his body may be taking rest at night, he is actually just meditating on his engaging in Krishna's service in his original sarup, you know, internal meditation. Therefore, he is Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, even in his dreams. You know, so we should use all our time. Time is very, very valuable. Actually, in fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, not once but twice that he is time. You know, is that very famous verse in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, time I am, destroyer of the three worlds. You know, actually, this verse is famous, very famous amongst materialists as well, because when the first atom bomb was detonated, then one scientist, he quoted that verse, went from the Bhagavad Gita, time I am, destroyer of the three worlds, and I've come to destroy everyone. You know, so, and actually many people I meet on the street, they bought Bhagavad Gita just to read the rest of the book. They've heard that verse quoted. So they buy the Bhagavad Gita just from hearing that verse. And then there's also the verse in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where, you know, Krishna says, of the daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. Of subduers, I am time. And so, twice Krishna says that he is time. And if we actually utilize time properly in Krishna's service, you know, like Bhakti Yoga is very mystical. You know, that Krishna, he will give us time, give us more time to do the things that we want to do to increase our service to him. You know, it's a very mystical process, Bhakti Yoga. One of my godbrothers, Ramdas Prabhu, he is very expert at time management. When he was in the Brahmachari ashram, he used to write out a whole weekly schedule. You know, write down, like, have the different aspects of the morning program. Then there'd be exercise, breakfast, you know, book distribution, mridanga practice, you know, everything up until he'd take rest at night. You know, so this whole weekly schedule there, and he'd try and follow that. Of course, he wouldn't be fanatical about following it, but it'd be there as a guideline so he knew what to do. And as sometimes myself, when I make a plan, you know, I get too attached to the plan, and then, you know, Krishna throws everything up in the air and I become a little disturbed, agitated and that. But yeah, so we should try and plan our time, you know, so there's no time for spacing out, no time for the mind to wander and no time to contemplate material desires. So Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Nature of Instruction, verse 8, you know, he gives the best way on how, he explains the best way on how to utilize time. He says, Tannama rupa charitadi sikirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yodhya tishtam brajeta ranuragi jananu gami kalam nayet akilam itipideshisharam. He says, the essence of all advice, all advice that anyone can ever give, you know, is to utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the transcendental name, qualities, and form pastimes of the Lord, thereby engaging one's tongue and mind. One should reside in Braj, engage in the Lord's service under guidance of devotees, and one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. This Nature of Instruction, you know, it's really an outstanding piece of literature. It's amazing. You know, if we understand that the nature of instruction is a summary of the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, and it's only 11 verses. Actually, Devamrita Swami, he says that if you count the verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, you actually won't find 18,000, although we know it as 18,000. It's, there's some differences in opinion of different acharyas, depending on how the verses are divided, because you know there's lots of Sanskrit prose, you know, in fifth canto Bhagavatam. So depending on how the verses are divided up, then that number varies. But nature of instruction, 11 verses, which summarizes the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, it starts off like just learning how to control the senses, all the way up to, you know, Krishna praying, the residing in Radha Kund. So, Srila Prabhupada, in this purport to the 8th verse of Nature of Instruction, he very wonderfully, or very expertly, gives a rundown of Krishna Smaranam, of remembering Krishna. He says that in the very beginning, the neophytes, they should constantly be hearing Krishna Katha. You know, and this is called Shravana Das. By constantly hearing, one develops an acceptance. You know, it means that they get a conviction within the heart. And from that conviction, attachment develops. This is called Varana Das. When attachment is there, one will start to chant the holy name in ecstasy. And from this ecstasy comes the stage of remembering. And this is called Smarana Vasa, when one comes to the stage of remembering. Now there's five different stages of remembrance of Krishna. There is recollection, there's absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance. So in a stage of recollection, it's said that there will be interruptions in the meditation, in the remembrance of Krishna. You know, but when the recollection becomes when there's no more interruptions, you know, then that is called absorption. And when the absorption becomes concentrated, it turns into meditation. And when meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti, or constant remembrance. And by uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, then one attains samadhi, or spiritual trance. And that is called smarana das. And it's at this stage, when samadhi is fully developed, that one can understand his original sarup siddhi, his original position as a spiritual spiritual engaged in his original identity in service to Lord Krishna. And this is called Sampati Das, the perfection of one's life. You know, so as yesterday, Keshava Prabhu, he mentioned that there are two main principles in Krishna consciousness that override all other principles. That is, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Yes. And that is in relationship to all of his various incarnations. There's one very nice verse by Kaviraj Goswami. He says, Katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismrite viparitam syat sri chaitanyam namamitam. That When one remembers Lord Chaitanya, that the most difficult activities to perform, they become very, very easy. But the most, when one forgets Lord Chaitanya, the most easiest tasks become very, very difficult. And I've had personal experience of this. Like the, even such a simple task of simple service of washing pots. You know, I remember when I was in Christchurch, I had that service a lot of washing pots. And I remember I'd get, you know, my mind would be very agitated, you know, and so I'd be thinking about so many other things, and the service would become very difficult, austere. The service wasn't being done properly, you know, because I was missing pots. And I said that the newcomers to Krishna consciousness, they never scrub the bottom of the pot. You know, you need to scrub the whole pot, get all the black off, and that way we're scrubbing the heart clean. But when I noticed that when my mind was diverted to not thinking of Lord Chaitanya, then the service was not being done properly. And as far as book distribution goes, you know, that service for me is the most difficult of all services. Actually, book distribution and giving class. They're actually two of the most difficult services for me. Like, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I'm a very, like, introverted person. Like, I was very much to myself. I never reveal my mind. And what to speak of sitting up in front of people, in front of devotees giving classes, very daunting for me. Although, after years of trying and practicing, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Gurudev, that hopefully I'm able to sit here and speak some coherent words. Mm-hmm. But when I first started giving class, I'd sit on a vyasasan, and nothing would come out of my mouth, you know, nothing at all, you know. And it was only up until maybe like 2 years ago that, you know, I could actually sit in front of devotees and try and speak something on the Bhagavatam. So yeah, in book distribution is wonderful service because it forces you to become Krishna consciousness. You have to pray hard, you know. Trying to stop people, you know, trying to stop materialists that don't want anything to do with spiritual life, you know, and trying to present to them nicely, you know, Krishna consciousness, or probably in Prabhupada's books, so that they will want to invite Krishna into their lives, you know. So to do that, you know, we have to become dependent on Lord Chaitanya. You know, there's no other way. There's no way I could do that myself, you know. So, I remember hearing in class once by my Gurudev Devamrita Swami, he was saying that it was a very informal discussion, actually, that he was giving in one ashram about the devotees. They'd just come back from book distribution, and then they'd had a pretty tough day, and the weather was bad, and no one wanted to stop and buy books, and you know, they were having difficulties out there. And when Devamrita Swami, at one point his health was very bad, and he couldn't go out on book distribution anymore. So what he used to do is that when devotees went out on book distribution, he would jump in his car and go and watch the devotees distributing books, unknown to them. And then during this discussion, he was explaining that, you know, when he saw the devotees' faces, you know, they were looking a bit despondent, and that he said, did you see the festival out there that was happening? The Panchatattva, they were dancing. You know, they were dancing in ecstasy when the flood of love of Godhead was being distributed. You know, and actually, one can feel the presence, you know, of the Panchatattva. When one is dancing and chanting in ecstasy on Harinam, or whether one is distributing books, either the Brihad Mridanga or the Laghu Mridanga, you know, that one can really feel the presence of the Panchatattva. You know, so Lord Chaitanya, actually, he never leaves the side of his Sankirtan devotee, because the Sankirtan devotee is always chanting his glories, and Krishna is always present wherever his glories are being chanted. You know, so I'll finish on a very beautiful verse that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami composed for Chaitanya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Krishna Kirtana Garana Nartana Kala Patanjani Brajita Sadbhaktavali Hansa Chakri Madhupaj Shani Viharas Param Karna Nadari Kala Karna Nad Kanad. Karna nadari kala dvanir vahuti me jiva maru prangane. Sri Chaitanya dayanite tavalasal lila shita svardhani. That he says, may the nectarian Ganges, oh my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the singing, dancing and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. Such devotees are compared to swans, ducks and bees. The river produces a melodious sound which gladdens their ears. It's a very beautiful verse. So I'll just speak a little bit about Srila Sanatan Goswami, because it is his disappearance today. So Sanatan Goswami is the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami. They were born in a very high-class Brahmana family. Later on, due to circumstances, they accepted employment under the Muslim government. Therefore, they changed their names to Dabir Akasam Sakalam Malik. Sanatan Goswami was Dabir Akash, right? Yeah. And so when they found out Lord Chaitanya was under their employment, sorry, while they were being employed by the Muslim government, they wanted to go and meet Lord Chaitanya. And so Rupa Goswami, he managed to get out of his services to the Muslim government. But Sanatan Goswami, he found it more difficult, because he had much more responsibility. So Sanatan Goswami, in order to avoid rendering his services to the Nawab, he pulled what's called, I know, call it in England, we pulled a sickie, you know, like we tried to get off work. But what do they call it in Australia?
Sickie.
They call it sickie here as well, yeah. You know, you know, so he told the Nawab that he was very sick and that he had to stay at home. But in fact, he was having debates and discussions, Krishna Katha, with a group of learned brahmanas and scholars. And so the Nawab, he suspected that something was wrong, so he sent his doctor to go and see Sanatana Goswami. And then when the doctor saw Sanatana Goswami was actually very well, and then the doctor reported back to the Nawab, and the Nawab was very angry at this, and so he threw Sanatana Goswami into prison, while the Nawab went to conquer Orissa, I believe. Yeah. So then Sanatana Goswami, he's in jail, and he receives a letter from Rupa Goswami saying that Lord Chaitanya is in Varanasi. And this makes Sanatana Goswami very happy, and he has a strong desire to go and see the Lord. So he tries to blackmail the bribe the prison guard.
He also said that I have left 50,000 gold coins.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So yeah, Rupa Goswami said that he had left all those gold coins. How many?
50,000
gold coins.
50,
for 000. One for 15. There we go. For Sanatana Goswami to use, so he could go to see Lord Chaitanya. And so Sanatana Goswami, he started glorifying the jailkeeper, and then he offered him some money, but the jailkeeper was very reluctant to let Sanatana go, because he thought if the Nawab found out that he had released Sanatana Goswami, he'd be in big trouble. You know, but finally Sanatana managed to convince him to release him, saying that, you know, all the jailkeeper would have to say that is that he let Sanatana go down to the Ganges, you know, to do his ablutions, and he can tell the Nawab that Sanatana jumped into the Ganges with his chains on, and he never surfaced again. And so anyway, Sanatana was released from prison, and he took a servant with him, Ishan, to assist him through his journey to Varanasi. And they came across, Sanatana Goswami, he bribed the jailkeeper with those, all the gold coins that Rupa Goswami had left him. But Ishan, he managed to secure 8 gold coins. Ishan, the servant of Sanatana. So anyway, Sanatana, he went to, on his way to see Lord Chaitanya, he stopped at a inn to take rest overnight and seek guidance there to get across the dangerous track of hills where there's a lot of dacoits. And while at the inn, the innkeeper, he had a palmist there, and the palmist, he told the innkeeper that actually Sanatana possesses 8 gold coins. Yeah, so the innkeeper, he was planning he was planning to kill Sanatana for these gold coins. And the innkeeper was treating Sanatana Goswami very nicely, you know, like a very dear friend, you know, a bit too nicely. Mm-hmm. You know, they said that when one is too nice to you, then you know they want something from you. So Sanatana Goswami, being engaged in the in politics, he knew the mentality of the innkeeper, and so he asked Ishan if he was the innkeeper was planning to kill Sanatana while he was taking rest and steal these coins. So Sanatana Goswami asked Ishan, you know, is there anything that you possess of any value? You know, and Ishan said, yes, actually, I have 7 gold coins. You know, so Sanatana said, give me those coins. And so he took the coins of Ishan and gave them to the innkeeper. And the innkeeper said, oh, thank you for giving me these coins because I was going to have to kill you for them. You know, actually the innkeeper realized, you know, what a terrible thing he was going to do. And he apologized to Sanatana and said, is there anything I can do for you? And so the Sanatana said, well, actually you can help us to get across the hills, you know, to Varanasi. So so the innkeeper, he arranged some guidance for Sanatana to go across to Varanasi. And Sanatana Goswami, on the way, he asked Ishan if there was anything else of any value he possessed. And Ishan admitted, yes, he was holding on to 1 gold coin. You know, so Sanatana told him, go back. You know, I don't want you with me. Yes, because he had lied to Sanatana. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami, he went to Varanasi and he heard that Lord Chaitanya was residing in the house of Chandrasekhar. So Sanatana, he went to the house of Chandrasekhar, and Lord Chaitanya, being the omniscient supreme personality of Godhead, he could understand Sanatana Goswami had arrived. So he told Chandrasekhar, like, go outside and see if there is any mendicant, any Vaishnava that has come to here to see me. So Chandrasekhar, he went outside and he couldn't see any Vaishnava there. So he went back to Lord Chaitanya and said, no, my lord, no one is here to see you. And so Lord Chaitanya said, actually, is anyone out there? Anyone at all out there? And Chandrasekhar, he looked again and he said, oh, there is one a Muslim mendicant here. You know, so Lord Chaitanya said, call him in. And when Sanatana Goswami walked in, Lord Chaitanya stood up and walked over and just embraced him. You know, and this scene was so pitiful that Lord Chaitanya was embracing Sanatana Goswami and incessant tears were pouring down both of their eyes. You know, and Sanatana Goswami, he said, my lord, do not touch me. Do not touch me. And then Lord Chaitanya, he took Sanatana Goswami by the hand, sat him down, and then started cleansing his body with his own hands. You know, and Sanatana Goswami again, he said, my lord, please do not touch me. And Lord Chaitanya said, I am touching you for my own purification. Because by the force of your devotional service, that is enough to purify the 3 worlds. And so this is how dear Sanatana Goswami is to Lord Chaitanya. There's very sweet loving exchanges between the Lord and his intimate associates. So I'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions or comments, or anyone would like to add?
What were the instructions? Mahaprabhu gave to Siddhartha Goswami after this meeting.
He told him to go to Vrindavan.
Excavate all the.
Yes, and write Vaishnava literature. The Sanatana Goswami wrote many books on the science of Bhakti Yoga, Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Establish temples.
Yeah, and establish the temples. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi.
Still here.